Hey, thanks, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Dalton, it's now four mile back up.
Yeah, 4 miles from that accident on 65 southbound. That's according to at Mobile AL Traffic. And on the other side, northbound, half a mile back up right now.
From,
I guess, rubberneckers, probably, more than likely. I mean, you see that big wreck.
Unless there's debris over there, maybe they are, or maybe they're working the fact that it was an ejection. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt right now and say they're working something on the northbound side as well. If not, then give me a break. Rubberneckers out there. Law enforcement working that, which, by the way, this is National Police Week.
Oh.
Yeah, National Police Week. This started on Sunday, goes through Saturday, and a lot of different activities going on through the week. I can tell you this, tomorrow happens to be the second Tuesday of the month. That means Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us, and we'll talk to him about it being National Police Week. I know he's a sheriff's deputy, but or sheriff, and he's got deputies, but he was a police chief for a long time. I think it's for all law enforcement. We'll talk about that coming up this hour at 343-0106. Also, want to welcome aboard, just enjoying it, seeing like it's like this isn't really happening. Just went back to the break room, and we have upgraded our concierge service. Comes to coffee and tea and hot chocolate and all that kind of stuff. Welcome aboard to the folks at Azalea Coffee Service. Our buddy Wayne Biggs and crew partnering with us to bring you Mobile Mornings. And wow, what an upgrade we made from our Mr. Coffee coffee pot that we replace about every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we've had for a long time. And now we have like stuff you have to plan to have several drinks through the morning to be able to sample all the different things going on back there.
Yeah, I can't wait. And, you know, I didn't get the memo. I knew that we were getting Azalea coffee.
We left you out.
I just didn't realize how soon. So I've been a BYOC guy, bring your own coffee from home guy, and no longer. I'm just going to bring a cup, leave it here, and rinse it out after drinking Azalea coffee all morning.
It's good stuff. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate you getting on board. We'll grab some phone calls here and also set up a couple of items to talk about this hour. And our phone number, 343-0106. I do want to check Donald in Mobile. Are you on 65 right now?
I was earlier, and I'm heading back that way now. It's a bad situation, yes. But it's being confounded, and the traffic is being piled up because the police are just sitting in their automobiles and not controlling the traffic.
What is it?
They do a fantastic job. I'm not cutting them, but one time I was behind an accident in Montgomery, and three officers spanned the interstate. And it was just south of where 85 hits 65.
Right.
So there's like five or six lanes of traffic across there. They had three officers blocking traffic, and they would let one lane go at a time, and it flowed evenly. There was no jockeying for position, and no further incidents would happen. You know how people bump into each other and try to cut each other off or whatever. But if Mobile could get behind an idea like that and start performing those kind of control actions, I think the people being late and the amount of traffic, because now it's probably backed up to 45.
Yeah, and that's what we're hearing. Four mile back up.
Yeah, it's backed up pretty far already. But, you know, looking at the images that we have to work off of here, it looks like a pretty bad wreck. But at least one of the vehicles square in the middle of the interstate and covering parts of all three lanes there. So I'm not sure what the police could do before they actually move that vehicle out of the way.
Donald, appreciate the call, but I don't, right now without being in the situation, I can't comment on what Donald said or what...
Basically you're left with the median right now.
They're saying pass on the left median.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing.
I would travel the left median.
I guess maybe he's saying the police should set up a little bit further ahead of the wreck so that it's easier for everyone to start pairing. But when you have all this Monday morning work traffic heading into work, and a lot of people going southbound on 65, not much you can do when only the median is the only place you can get by.
All right. We'll watch this and let you know when it gets to moving a little better than it is now, 65 southbound. Also, we can talk a little bit about the storm damage that happened, and it's going to be interesting to see. News reports right now say just straight-line winds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this anecdotally from my friends that live full-time on the island and getting assessment on where we stay at the island, there's some considerable damage there. We talked to Dauphin Island's Mayor Jeff Collier this morning, who said he saw area where the debris field was like a 360 versus straight. He said you could definitely see debris field from the straight line where it all kind of goes one way. But he said areas around the airport there at Dauphin Island saw some areas where there was debris kind of going everywhere.
Mm.
It's
going
to be interesting if they see if there was any tornadic activity. I was getting the first reports I got were that waterspouts came off the Gulf and hit houses. I mean, I've got pictures on my phone. People were sending me yesterday of roofs off of houses and that island rainbow and all that down there at Dauphin Island. I know some more damage in Baldwin County as well. I think they are attributing all that to straight line winds.
Yeah, and I had Mother's Day weekend down at Gulf Shore, so we went down on the other side of the bay, down to the beach. And mm-hmm. yesterday morning, prepared for that big storm to roll through. Check it out there on the balcony. And I couldn't believe. So first off, all the lightning started coming in.
Yeah.
And the people that go down, even with small children, and are on the beach with lightning striking within distance on both sides. So not just coming from the
These
west.
These are the same people who would not put a toe in the water if they thought there was a shark there.
Exactly.
But they'll get, yeah.
And I even saw some swimming as lightning was striking around yesterday. Maybe somebody training for a triathlon or something like that. But I could not believe, I wanted to get a megaphone out and say, get off the beach, especially to the family that had a couple small children. And you could see lightning strikes out there in the background. But once that everybody got off the got off the beach safely, as far as I could tell. But once those straight line winds came through Gulf Shores, I had a feeling that Dauphin Island and everything to the west probably got hit pretty hard. I mean, what a storm that rolled through yesterday morning!
I'm just picturing you like Chris Christie with the megaphone, the get off the beach.
Uh-huh.
Hey, on the way we'll talk about a Facebook page that's popped up here. Put together by State Auditor Jim Ziegler, block the Mobile Bayway toll Facebook. We'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. And yeah, it's all about tariffs. We were telling you last week when those tariffs went into effect midnight on Friday night on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. And I said, you know, there's a lot of gray here and a lot of nuance to talk about with tariffs. I said, listen, there's good effects that can come from these tariffs, and there's also bad effects. And the people that say everything's bad aren't being honest, and the people say everything's good and there's nothing wrong here with tariffs, it can't hurt the American people, I think they're wrong as well. But I was most focused really on the president saying the other night, I think when he's in Panama City, that the Chinese would be paying all these tariffs. Look how much money we've gotten from the Chinese in tariffs. I said, so it's not against, maybe you can support the president's idea, but say, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. The tariffs are paid by Americans.
Right.
That's how it works. The tariffs are not. Now, Chinese can lose market share, but the idea that the tariffs are paid by the Chinese, they're not. They're paid by Americans. So if that money is going into the Treasury, it's coming through U.S. taxpayers. And that was part of the discussion Chris Wallace had Larry Kudlow on yesterday morning and asked him this.
Because the president says it pays the tariffs. They may suffer consequences, but it's U.S. businesses and U.S. consumers who pay, correct?
Yes, to some extent. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Again, both sides will suffer on this.
Now, I like Larry Kudlow too, but to some extent, not like to all extent,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there's been suffering already from farmers in these tariffs. We've got issues right here when you look at the businesses, whether it be Airbus here or shipping coming in and out of the Port of Mobile. These are real issues for us. And people say, well, listen, a lot of people have called over time and said, hey, I'll take the lick, right? We'll lose out for the short term, for the long term gain of getting a better deal with China. And I think there's a lot of Americans who say, yeah, if short term, I'd take that. How long does this go on? There's a little wrinkle to this. The Chinese, they're going to sit back and wait maybe for a change in the White House. So this could go on longer than we can take it. We'll talk more about that when we get back. Plus this new Facebook page to block the Mobile Bayway toll. Coming up. Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Reminded me, I saw something from the missus over on Twitter. Didn't get time on Friday for this rant. She has a theory. I don't know if she even put it on Twitter, but that May is the worst month ever for Mother's Day.
Why is that?
That just there's too many things going on with the kids and this and that, and there's no way to get a good Mother's Day. She believes June, where Father's Day is a way better month, and that moms are getting a raw deal with May for Mother's Day. And usually I can have an argument. I just said, I don't know. I don't know why it's in May.
Well, did this argument...
I said, when should it be? And she said, like, January. I said, I don't think you can do it in January. It's got to be like a spring thing.
Did this argument come up yesterday on Mother's Day?
No, it was discussed. But it wasn't even an argument. I just went, okay.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you can't argue, especially if this came up on Mother's Day. You have to say, yeah, you're right.
That is correct.
Right on.
That is correct. Absolutely. Let's move Mother's Day. I don't know. That's a discussion that, I mean, it's not like it has, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day and all that stuff. It's not like it's based on the Christian calendar or something like that. It's just, it's some arbitrary stuff.
Yeah.
And so if you moved it, if you could get consensus to move it, then fine.
It's one of those Hallmark holidays, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of invented by Hallmark. Well, yesterday was my wife's first Mother's Day as a mother, and you'd be surprised at the number of things that a three-month-old can buy. Because everyone said, no, this is from Isabella. This is not for me. So don't think that I got you this. This came from the baby.
The lucky thing is my penmanship has gotten so poor in the years of using keyboards all the time that, you know, mothers and grandmothers will say, oh, that's sweet. The children signed that card. I mean, yeah.
That's right. Sure. That wasn't just my left hand.
That was the kids. No, that was about the best I could do. So, all right. A couple things we want to talk about. Number one, this... question about the trade war going on with China. Mm-hmm. And this was something that Rand Paul talked about. We played the clip from Larry Kudlow on Fox News with Chris Wallace. Rand Paul mentioned this as well, and a clip from over the weekend.
I know of a big prominent company in Kentucky that told me that the tax cut significantly helped them, but that the tariffs are almost equal in punishing them. But I still have advised the administration, get this done, because the longer we're involved in a tariff battle or a trade war, the better chance there is that we could actually enter into a recession because of it.
Okay. So there's the other question, the sword of Damocles, is this. Remember, what was it, a week or so ago when they had the Drudge headline? It said, endless stock rally or something like that. And I said, oh, Lord, they just absolutely jinxed that. Now the question is, if things are unstable elsewhere in the world, the United States economy doing quite well, but what happens if this goes into a protracted trade war with China? Is it enough to mess up the economic future of the United States? What does the market think?
Yeah, well, the U.S. markets opened this morning and not looking good with the U.S. stock futures. They wrote, as of 8 o'clock this morning, Dow Jones Industrial Futures dropped 530 points. S&P 500 futures pointed to a loss of 1.9%, and the NASDAQ 100 futures indicated a drop of 2.4%. That comes off the news that China is going to hike tariffs on $60 billion worth of U.S. imports, and that's going to start on June the 1st. So the not being able to come to an agreement over the talks at the end of last week, and then both sides raising tariffs, pretty big losses in the stock market worldwide and here in the U.S. today.
Yeah, there's so much to this. It's not completely black and white, but generally the things that are going to China, right, our natural resources we have going to China. I mean, things like soybeans and things like that we talk about, and coming in, basically, even though it comes in the form of plastic things, it's cheap labor. It's cheap labor. What we are purchasing in the United States as a Chinese import is cheap labor.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is it really affects... There's the consumer goods, $200 billion worth of those, but also you have companies, American companies, that buy something in their process of building whatever it is they sell from China. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an American company and it sells whatever widget. But one of the widget components that they need, they buy from China in this, and that's going to put some pressure, obviously, on them. And then you have people that are, exporters. I mean, I'm thinking about, y'all know I've got a very soft part of my heart for American farmers, those that are left. I'm not talking about ADM. I'm talking about, you know, not the big consortiums. I'm talking about folks.
Right.
And it's worrisome what it means for their, because they can do their business just as well. They can farm just as hard. But because of international trade imbalances, you know, they're going to get messed up. But at the same time, now American companies that have been pushed down by cheap Chinese products have a chance to rebound. But looking at the market, I think they're saying, because we had a story last week, they had mostly cooked in this tariff issue into their numbers. Mm-hmm. They'd already worked this out. What makes me wonder, with these numbers coming out this morning, do they think, okay, what they had projected was too short for how long this could last? Because, you know, maybe they had projected a 6-month tariff battle or 3-month or whatever, and now upon news they're getting now, they think it could last longer. I know there's been some stories floating around that the Chinese say, well, they're just going to sit back and let this go on at least through the 2020 election cycle.
Well, yeah, and that's what the president was. He actually tweeted a whole lot this weekend. I mean, we talk about the president tweeting all the the time, but he's been on top of it since yesterday morning, basically tweeting nonstop, and he tweeted quite a bit. He said, we're right where we want to be with China. Remember, they broke the deal with us and tried to renegotiate. We'll be taking in tens of billions of dollars in tariffs from China. He said, buyers of product can make it themselves in the USA, and then in parentheses he wrote, ideal, or buy it from non-tariffed countries. We will then spend, match or better, he wrote in parentheses, we will then spend the money that China may no longer be spending with our great patriot farmers, he wrote, agriculture, which is a small percentage of total tariffs received, and distribute the food to starving people in nations around the world. He wrote, great, make America great again. But a little later, he was tweeting about the 2020 election. He said, China is dreaming, all caps, dreaming that sleepy Joe Biden or any of the others get elected in 2020. They love ripping off America. So the president kind of going on and saying that if China, that their plan is to wait it out until 2020 and hope mm-hmm. that a Democrat wins and then come back to the negotiating table. But the president says, listen, you better negotiate now because I'm going to win re-election in 2020. And then you really won't want to negotiate with me after that because I'll have all of the power and you're not going to get a better deal than what I'm giving you right now.
All right. Get your calls on this at 343-0106. Also, just another little nuance to this. I was listening to a report with Mark Zandi from Moody's Analytics, and he had pointed out that, you know, when you get in a trade war with a totalitarian country like China, that they can just, and I'll use a technical term, they can up and decide mm-hmm. to tell their people not to buy things. And specific American products, maybe even like he said, what if they said, okay, don't buy iPhones, don't buy anything from Apple. Although I think that would gig them some because they have production facilities for components for iPhones in China. But China could decide, like, even if they didn't have a specific tariff on it, they could say, I mean, this is still, even with all the changes in China, it is not a free country. And they could say, ban these products, don't buy these products. There's a fine if you buy them. We'll come to your house and get the products.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking myself with this trade war. So you have one pretty much free, open democracy, mm-hmm. Republic, but democracy. So you have people
Democratic
in America,
Republic.
Democratic Republic, thank you, of people that are able to speak their mind. You've got press on both sides of each issue. You got the president tweeting. But in China, it's pretty much one unified message, right? I mean, you have dissenters, but you're basically getting the message from the government, and they tell their people what to do. So if you think about it, that's kind of one advantage that China has in instances like this, although I would never, ever, ever want to live in a totalitarian regime.
You're right. No, you're right.
But when it comes to what being able to withstand a war like this, a trade war, where whoever holds out the longest wins at the end, when you have one unified message and one decision maker.
Yeah, they don't care if the people are, the hue and cry makes no difference.
They don't care if their people starve.
No, it makes no difference. It's like when you try to deal with, the extreme of like North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do things through our means, and they're doing it through a totalitarian system. It's the same way if you're talking about safety, okay, post 9/11 and the things that were in place to try to secure the homeland. In a totalitarian system, that wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
People don't have the rights they do here, so it's not nearly as complicated.
But even after 9/11, at least there was some bit of unity in America. And it seemed mm-hmm. like for a time, 70-80%, maybe even more, all agreed on one thing, even if it was only a month after those attacks. Everybody seemed to be unified. Right now, America is pretty much split 50-50, or split in more ways than that, and it seems like more people out to get the president and would like to see us lose this trade war than I just don't see how Americans are going to be able to stick through this and stick through longer than China does to win this trade war.
We'll see. We've stuck through some things the world didn't believe we could
mm-hmm.
and come out the victor on the other side. All right. Also, when we come back from the break, it's on Facebook. It's on its web. The website is stopthetoll.com. And the Facebook page is blockthetoll.com. You know, I just would like to suggest here that to State Auditor Jim Ziegler, who's put this together. Branding, man, branding. They should both be either stop or both be block. Mm-hmm. You got to stick with. But we'll talk about this push here to block or stop the toll on the Bayway as pushed by State Auditor Jim Ziegler and possible candidate for U.S. Senate.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now, we head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. So, a brand new week. What's going on at the lot at McConnell Automotive?
Well, you know, Dalton, we're every day we hope what we do is kind of treat customers a little bit different than what most dealerships do. And I think what I mean is just how much hassle people have to go through for, you know, their best deal. And so what I'm excited about is just how easy it is to go to our website, Dalton, and people, you know, that may be shopping for a Yukon, maybe the new Sierra truck everybody's talking about with that tailgate. And, you know, right now, as an example, I don't think anybody anywhere on the Gulf Coast, Dalton, has got the price we do on AT4. We've got a couple demonstrators driven by myself and my brother that we're giving over $12,000 off the sticker price. And a lot of dealerships, Dalton, they kind of trick people. And, you know, they see a price, they get excited on a TV commercial. They try to buy it for that price and get a little frustrated. But at McConnell, we always honor the prices we put on our advertising. And, you know, I think a great example is we're giving over 16% off the sticker price of Buicks. And, you know, we got six different SUVs. We got that new truck. We got a lot of people excited about these deals. And all they have to do is go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and kind of let their fingers do the shopping. And we just love people, you know, shopping with us because we know we're going to save them time and money when they do.
That's for sure. Always some great deals at McConnell Automotive. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great start to your week.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106.
Looks like it's opening. I think we just heard Kane say it, but opening up a little bit there on southbound 65, two lanes now open.
Okay, so traffic moving between Spring Hill and Dolphin Street.
Yeah, and there was quite a backup, so probably still moving pretty slow through there, but at least they're opening some lanes.
Also saw this on David, who's one of our neighbors down on Dolphin Island, said, we just got lucky because David said, because he's just down, I mean, like three houses away from us, said large projectile hit our second floor, blowing out two storm windows. Ooh. This is from the storm Saturday night into Sunday. Projectile was a large glass top patio dinner table that blew over two houses before slamming into us. Impact so hard it broke the drywall in half, floor to ceiling.
Holy cow.
He said he only saw in evidence straight line winds. And yeah, a lot of that damage down there is straight line, but then you can hear the mayor talk with us. Maybe we'll put that up in a podcast form. Actually, you can go back to listen to hour number one of Mobile Mornings and get it, but we'll put the podcast of that interview up and you can hear Mayor Jeff Collier talk about the damage down there. He thinks some of the areas he saw, the debris field doesn't look like straight line. It looks like kind of scattered stuff. We'll see. I mean, they're going to do the investigation today and we'll find out if they believe it was a tornadic activity. The reports from people down there said they saw water spouts and so we'll see. I mean, water spout, you know, is a form of, it's a vortice, right? So we'll check that out. All right. I mentioned the story about the tolling here. There's a Facebook page up called Block the Mobile Bayway Toll. There's also a website called Stop the Toll. Now, just a quick note here for branding. Mm-hmm. Just branding, if you're going to do something, have them both be the same name. Both be Block or both be Stop. I don't care which one, but just for branding, I would pick one of the...
Well, you would think that would be rule A when you're kind of workshopping this idea. You come up with one name.
You call both of that. But yeah, it's Block the Mobile Bayway Toll on Facebook, Stop the Toll.com on the web. All right, so this is spearheaded by State Auditor Jim Ziegler, and he's put this up for people to chime in on to talk about not paying the toll. He said back here 16 hours ago, a post by Jim Ziegler said, the proposal to charge folks $2,500 a year or more to cross the Mobile Bayway is irresponsible and economically dangerous. $6 to $12 a day is a severe burden. The site Block the Mobile Bayway Toll is your campaign headquarters. Love headquarters. Join the site, spread the word to others, post steps to help block the toll. I want to point out that it doesn't... Now, is this out of character for State Auditor Jim Ziegler? No. He's for fiscal accounting, I have no doubt that this is in his soul. I would also point out, though, he's still in the investigative process of whether to launch his 2020 Senate run for, you know, against now three in that field.
So does he propose, like, a way to stop the toll, or is he just saying
politically
it's too much?
Well, politically. And then you heard, well, yeah, he says it's too much, but then he says stop. That, you know, good point. I mean, you read through here, he says the proposal is to charge folks $2,500 a year. This is what we heard State Senator Chris Elliott talking about. He was talking about, hey, for people that use the route a lot, they should have a lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he said the proposal charged folks $2,500 a year aboard across the Mobile Bayway is irresponsible and economically dangerous. $6 to $12 a day, severe burden. So the slank block, the Mobile Bayway toll is your campaign headquarters. I don't know if he, I don't know if it's nuanced in like Senator Elliott was talking about and said, okay, there has to be some toll, but this is way too much for local people, mm-hmm. or if it's no toll at all. No toll at all, we've been told that there's going to be no build.
Right, yeah. I'm just wondering if Jim Ziegler and the people that stop the toll and block the toll.
Stop and block.
If they're suggesting that we form a human chain or maybe fill out a petition we just contact our representatives and say, hey, we need to put a stop to this toll. But, you know, we have
It's your headquarters there, though.
That is the headquarters, both places. But right now we do have that toll pole up on our question and kind of getting an idea of what people would be willing to pay in tolls. And remember, they're going to put the toll in the Wallace Tunnel also, there on the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge. But we put from $0 to $6, how much would you be willing to pay in tolls? That's the 1-800-GOT-JUNK opinion poll. And right now, $0 and $1, both getting 25% of the vote. So those are the top vote getters. People would not be willing to pay any toll. That's 25%. 25% of the people would be willing to pay $1. 18% willing to pay $2 each time they cross the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge. $3 for 20% of the people. $4 for 7%, 0% say they would pay $5, and 5% of the people say they would be willing to pay $6 each time they cross.
Yeah, it goes by whether you use it, how often you use it, whether what you think is going to be the dent to your budget, and whether you think you need. If you never travel, okay, mm-hmm. there's a couple of scenarios. If you're just somebody like, I don't do anything, I just go from my house to work and eat TV dinners at home and don't do anything.
Right.
And you don't have to cross the Bayway to do that, then you might say, I don't care if they build it or not.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one way to go with it. Then there are people that'll say, I use the Bayway a bunch, but I can't afford. Those are the people I'm interested in talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Just the, like, I'm cranky and I hate everything is, I mean, that's an opinion, but the ones I'm interested in are people that have to use the Bayway or would use a bridge and the Wallace Tunnel and the expanded Bayway. Is it worth it? What is it worth to get out of the I-10 eastbound traffic?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically what we're asking, right? I mean, sure, if you could do it for zero, we would all like to do it for zero in additional tolls.
Of course.
It's already tax money in there. We get that. But for somebody who has to travel it, what is it worth to you? And I think that's what they're trying to gauge. And people have to use it every day. Obviously, it's going to take a bigger hit, a bigger bite out of their budget versus somebody, maybe let's say you live on one side of the Bay Area, other, and once a month you go across and you think it's be nice to not have traffic, you may pay a lot more at a toll because it's a once-in-a-while thing.
Yeah, and it would be once-in-a-while thing for me, but, you know, every time that I try to travel across the Bay, if it's a Friday afternoon, good luck. Good luck going eastbound. It's going to take a really long time, but I do know there's a lot of people that work on one side of the Bay or the other, and they're going to be traveling back and forth a lot. But what is your time really worth to you? Because you don't always think of your time in dollar symbols, you know, but if you could save 30 minutes a day, 45 minutes a day, would that be worth $4 a trip across the Bayway? I'm wondering what it would be worth to people. And I'm also wondering if we could somehow screw this up as we try to negotiate that dollar amount down, and no one wants to pay $6 there and back, but if we can work that down to $1, $2, $3, is it possible that we hold out too long and end up completely losing the new I-10 Mobile River Bridge?
Fair question. Grab some calls here at 343-0106, and James is in Baldwin County. Hey, James.
Hey, I tell you what's going to happen. The people in Baldwin County is going to boycott Mobile. They ain't going to come across over there. The businesses in Mobile are going to lose.
Okay, so it'll be a Baldwin County-wide boycott. What about people who have jobs in Mobile County? They quit
If you got jobs, you got to deal with it. But, I mean, I'm fixed to retire, and when I retire, I will not cross that bridge.
You'll just stay in Baldwin County?
Yep. Everything I do will be in Baldwin County.
There we go. All right. There it is.
Travis texts in, Sean, I say the toll is a good thing. The heavy traffic on the road that is free is a good business model. Leave the tunnel free. Make the bridge a tollway.
All right. Yeah, but they can't.
Can't do that.
So if y'all go back, I wish I could pull the interview we did, folks from ALDOT, but I asked that same question. They said, no, because of the funding model for this, they can't. They have to toll both of them because we will do what we will do, and that is we'll go in the tunnel and not the bridge
right.
to avoid the toll. And they said they realize that, so they have to toll both of them,
mm-hmm.
which I want to point out the unintended consequence as well. If that scenario does come to light, then people will say, well, I'm going to take the Bankhead, okay, or take the Cochrane Africatown Bridge. But think about the Bankhead. If you're going to get off and go through two-lane surface streets
mm-hmm.
to get, because we've all had to do this on a big backup. Well, you know, local folks, we see the backup, we get off, we get down and get on Government Street and go through the Bankhead. Think about every day having that additional traffic on Government in downtown. You know what it gets like when we have a big backup, I-10 eastbound, going into the tunnel. We already have, you pull onto Government Street, and I mean, you're waiting to get in line on Government Street and the traffic there. Imagine if every day people are using that route to avoid what could be a tolled tunnel and bridge. What kind of infrastructure work is it going to cost the city of Mobile to be able to have that roadway better, or is it going to be constantly tied up?
Yeah.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what, I had something weird going on with phones. I'm going to go to the news break. We'll come right back, and we'll get your calls at 343-0106. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5 coming straight to the phones, but let me just answer one of these many, many, many texts we're getting in here. Jim says, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. A four-lane bridge going to a two-lane highway is just moving the bottleneck from the tunnel to the end of the bridge. Wake up, people. Well, I say this. The project, as has been described to me, Jim, is to expand the lanes on the Bayway and then the lanes on I-10 in in Spanish Fort, I guess, as well. So that is part of it. That is part of the idea to... The cost would be, we talk about the bridge because that's almost just like the symbol for it, but the bridge and the tunnel and then expanded Bayway lanes, and they're actually even talking about raising the Bayway, which is a whole other discussion, but raising it. In other words, getting rid of RAZE and mm-hmm. RAISE to get rid of the old Bayway and then have it expanded higher Bayway, but more lanes, so you go out of that to, yeah, you don't go, I thought the same thing, Jim, early on. I was like, all you're doing is moving the bottleneck elsewhere, but they said they're not, because you have expanded lanes on the Bayway, and then you would have expanded lanes when you hit the land again in Baldwin County. All right, go to the phones, and first up, Chip in Mobile. Hey, Chip.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I was just wondering, why don't you do like a day pass and charge everybody, you know, like $60 a month if you want to get the pass, and you go through it as many times as you want. Yeah, that seems, you know, kind of like Netflix. You know, you pay one fee every month and you watch or not watch or whatever you want to do.
Right, and that's one of the things that State Senator Chris Elliott was talking about. There has to be something. And I said address-wise, I learned something new, too. I said, oh, well, maybe we could just, if you... I said to you, if you have an address or in Mobile and Baldwin County, you could have a discount. And he said that's actually illegal. Federal law says it's illegal. You can only do it by the amount of use. You can't do it by addresses. And sorry, Chip, we lost signal there for a second, but I appreciate your call. Let's go to Richard in Mobile next. Hey, Richard.
Hey, John.
Hey, man.
I'm calling about the bridge toll there. I'm curious if there's ever been a study done or any kind of numbers concerning the people that live on the Eastern Shore and commute to work every day, because they're the ones that seem to be complaining the most about it. And I'm afraid if we don't, you know, if we fight this toll, we're not going to wind up with a bridge at all. But in my way of thinking, you know, I cross the Bayway once every 2 weeks for either business or pleasure, and they're using it 10 times as much as I am. So that's the whole point in the toll. The ones that use it pay for it.
Right, right. But the idea is, you know, people are saying on the text line, there's so many coming in, that there's no precedent set for tolling on an existing road. I thought the same thing, but I was sent a bit of literature from Congressman Bradley Byrne's office, researched it for me, and also State Senator Chris Elliott. And there are some places where they have added tolls to existing interstates, but they've used it for like road expansion or something like that. And I guess that's their argument here, that they can, because of expansion of I-10, because the additional lanes and all that stuff, that they can do this toll and charge it to the people who use it, like you said. But people who use it are going to say, I mean, you look at the numbers, if it's $2,500 a month for somebody who has to go back and forth over it, that is, I mean, that's really tough. That could decimate a budget.
Yeah, and I'm you know, I don't have a problem with giving them a discount, but proportionally, I mean, that's the whole point. They've got to pay more, they use it more, and here's my contention, you know, if we could hear the numbers, I'm thinking in my mind, if none of those people commuted, we wouldn't, may not even need the Midway
Way. That's right. the threat of the toll.
It would cut the, you know. So I don't know what the numbers are, but I'd be curious to know, because that's in my mind, that's what I'm thinking.
Richard, I'll dig into that and see if somebody can lay out the actual figures for us on that. Let me see something here too, Dalton. Well, if you I'm getting texts. And here's the problem. So I get text line. Also have
Sean Sullivan text line.
My regular phone here, and it looks like noon today. State Auditor Jim Ziegler will join us. So y'all tune in at the beginning of Midday Mobile. State Auditor Jim Ziegler is going to join us. He has two sites up. The block the toll on Facebook and stopthetoll.com.
Stop the toll.
Stopping and blocking.
And block the toll. We're getting a lot of texts in here, and a few say the same thing. They say, great idea, let the lotto pay for the new bridge. No tolls for the tunnel. Well, you know, we just passed that infrastructure bill up there in Montgomery, and not a whole lot of money coming from that to us. But with the lottery bill, explain again why we can't get any money from the lottery, which they still haven't passed the lottery bill, and now that's looking like it might be.
Yeah, that may not happen. Everybody's so sure the lotto, because then the lotto thing is two parts. You know that. It is a vote that we would see on the ballot next year, or that would be a constitutional amendment that would allow for gambling in the state of Alabama. Then the second part would be, the second bill would be, here's how the lotto looks. It's a clean lotto. It's a paper lotto. The money goes here, here, and here, or just here. So there's a little more nuance than just the, hey, we get a lotto or not get a lotto. And right now, like Dalton referenced, I mean, there's a battle going on with where the money goes, because the Senator Albritton's bill that has the most traction, which is they call the clean lotto bill, the paper-only lotto bill, puts money into the general fund. First thing it does, it repays the oil and gas trust fund, which is something that's one of the places that bailed out Alabama in the past. We broke the lock off the lockbox and took the money out of there where it's supposed to just be interest. We took the principal out of there as well to balance the budget. To pay that back, I think 170 some odd million be paid back into that, but the rest going to the general fund. And I think once they pay off the oil and gas trust fund, then 100% goes to the general fund. So conceivably, lotto money could come through the state and the general fund to build a bridge, but wouldn't, I mean, the bridge project is more than the annual budget for ALDOT.
Wow.
So, right, we'll pick this up again at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher on the way next.